You will hear part of an interview with two sociologists, Hanya Richardson and Jeffrey Walsh, in which they discuss adult friendships. For questions 1 to 5, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear.
Welcome to the programme. Today our guests are the sociologists Hanya Richardson and Jeffrey Walsh, who study friendship. Hanya, friendships too easily fall by the wayside in adulthood, don't they?
They do indeed. In the research for our book, we found that people make the most friends between the ages of 15 and 25. And then, try as we might to keep up with people, our friendship circles shrink as we move into adulthood. We become engrossed in our careers. We get married, have kids. We might even end up relocating for one reason or another. In our daily lives, we're still surrounded by people, of course, but they are in the same position as ourselves. Busy, short on energy and free time.
We have fewer friends as adults, but not usually by choice. One study found that the average adult won't have made a new friend in the last 5 years, even though about half would have liked to.
And so the question is, how can we fill this friendship gap? It's a bit of an uphill battle, as we all know. It can take between 40 and 60 hours to develop a casual friendship. But of course, it's also possible to spend hundreds and hundreds of hours with someone and think of them as just a workmate or an acquaintance.
So what else can be done to turn these everyday encounters into real friendships?
Most of us, we assume friends will just sort of fall into our lives, and it's not entirely unreasonable that we should make this assumption, because it fits with the way many of the friendships developed when we were younger. Back then, we were stuck in the same building with lots of potential friends, and it was as simple as going through shared experiences. As adults, we have to put ourselves out there a bit more.
And it can't be a one-off thing. It's not enough to go to just the one networking meeting. Better to look for a professional development group. Don't go to a book lecture. Look for a book club.
What about those of us who find it hard to relax and be ourselves around people we don't know?
That's very common, and it's often due to a cognitive bias known as the liking gap. This describes people's tendency to underestimate the degree to which they are liked by strangers they interact with.
Like it or not, to make new friends, we simply have to get used to those small bouts of anxiety that come from engaging with new people. All too often, we resort to overt or covert avoidance strategies, like looking at our phone or playing with the host's pet. We ought not to let ourselves fall into this common trap. By trying to protect ourselves from rejection, by limiting our eagerness or enthusiasm, we only make the chances of rejection more likely. Other people, after all, are just as afraid of getting the brush off as we are.
So let's say you meet someone you really click with. What then?
Here also, a bit of courage can pay dividends. We sometimes get too caught up in our own heads about who chose to invite whom to do what when, and whose turn it is now. But the truth is, there are a lot of people out there who really appreciate being asked, but are really terrible at asking. It's normal to worry about being clingy, but we probably underestimate that nice-to-be-wanted feeling that people get when you pick them to spend time with.
And to fast forward a bit, once a friendship is established, if or when things don't live up to our expectations, we shouldn't get too hung up about it, because they won't. People need the space to be imperfect. With friends, it's best to avoid resentment and reserve judgment when life gets in the way.
Speaking of tough times, these days there is a school of thought that says we should ditch one-sided friendships and take better care of ourselves. Hanya, what's your take on that?
So, I wouldn't advise anyone to be friends with a person who actively does things to hurt them. But this kind of self-focused attitude, you know, avoiding toxic people and all that, it muscles out the reality that we're all imperfect. Friends need us most when they're acting poorly and not thinking about the consequences. True, it can be tough when a friend is doing all the talking and you're doing all the listening, but they still deserve your respect and attention. And you know what? In the long run, it's actually very good for us to stick through other people's struggles. It's how we become better people.